Wednesday, the 10th of June, Yud Ches Sivan, Rabbi Daniel Grunwald, Halacha Lemaase, Bosa V'Cholov.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The story is told about a man who once heard the idea that Kol Hashein Halacha V'Chol Yoy, most of Leis, who B'nei Nama, and it's explained to him, Kol Hashein Halacha means two halachas, halachas in the Miot Rabbim, Shnayim. If you learn two halachas every day, that gets you there, that gets you to B'nei Nama. Two halachas every day sounds good. Then he thought about it some more. He thought, can't be that easy. And after a while, his enthusiasm waned, and he didn't maintain it. Comes to Olam HaEmes, and he's having his dinner cheshbon, and the Malach says to him, I don't understand, do you remember that day 65 years ago when you came across Kol Hashein Halachas B'chol Yom, and you had these favors, you realized all you needed to do was learn two halachas every day? Why didn't you carry it on? Why didn't you do it? You could have had the whole Olam HaBa if you'd done that. And the man said, well, I thought it can't be that easy. So the man said, well, it's not that easy. You didn't manage. So there's a tremendous Musahaf skill there. But the truth is that it's not that easy to learn Kol Hashein Halachas B'chol Yom. Especially if you understand that what it means is to learn halacha in an oifen which is clear and practical and come out knowing exactly as a master sheyas and what the Rebbein Shalom wants of us. What I'll try to do, to the best of my ability, is to discuss some halachas lemaisa about Hilchos Bosa V'Cholov, specifically about Bittel and the principle called Chatich Anas Neveila, which is very interesting, can be Neveila. And I'd like to start with a few basic dinim of Bittel and then perhaps a few more complex, slightly more complex applications. Gemara said in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Zayin, Omer Rabbanan B'Taima, Omer Rabbanan B'Kfeila, Omer Rabbanan B'Shishim, which is explained by the Gemara, by Rashi, to mean as follows, that in a case of Taruvas Issa V'Heta, or Bosa V'Cholov, when milk falls into meat, meat into milk, Issa into Heta, they're all similar, then you have to know, is it, how much has fallen in? Has the amount which has fallen in acid the rest of it, or has it not? What's the criteria? How do you decide? So the Gemara said, Amar Rabbanan B'Taima, Chazal said to use tam. Someone should taste it and ascertain whether the milk has tam of meat in it. Of course, in that case, you can't use a yid. So tamo, the Gemara says tamo means a yid, so it would be talking about the moshel truma falls into non-truma. So you get a kohen to taste it. Amar Rabbanan B'Kfeila. Kfeila is a goisha cook. You ask him to taste it. That would be tak in the case of Bosa B'Cholov, in the case of Trefus, which fell into kosher. You ask him, you say, tell me, is there a taste of it in it? Omer Rabbanan B'Shishim, finally, if you can't use a Tama, you can't use a Yid, you can't use a Goy, you use the idea of Shishim. Is there 60 times the amount? And what we find, it's before there, is that the Gemara said, Omer Rabbanan B'Taima, Omer Rabbanan B'Kfeila. If you can't use Taima, you can't use Kfeila, then you use Shishim. But what do you see from there? The idea of Shishim is, Chazal Hashara, Chazal felt, that at the point of Shishim, you Kanira don't have time. You can assume there's no time. That's why the Ramah says in Tzadi Ches, or Tzadi Tes, I think, that if you have something with a strong taste, the Moshe Tavlin, which is Osa, then that would ask even Shaloi, even if it doesn't give time. The Shach says, for example, in Tzadi Ches, Siv Kotan Dalet, if the thing that's fallen in gives tam, then it's also even if it's less than a 60th. And if it gives no tam, then theoretically it's mutter even if it's more than a 60th of the mixture, even if there's only 40 kenegadot or something. Halacha, apparently, halacha lemaisa, the Machaber uses Timas Goy. The Machaber writes both in Tzadi Beis, the Gabbai Bosa V'Cholov, and in Tzadi Ches, Legabe Issa V'Heta, that you ask a goy, is there a taste of the offending item in this mixture? And you go by what he says. Depends how, you've got to be careful, you've got to be respectful. If you're tumoy, or perhaps you have to be an umman, they're different halachas. However, the Ramah says in both those places, and this is halacha lemaisa for us, we don't rely, our minhag, certainly minhag Ashkenazim, is not to rely on a goy. We are Meshai everything in 60. That's why we are left with the halacha that in many dinim, not in every dinim, but in many dinim, there's bittul b'shishim. It's worth noting, just a simple mathematics, obviously it's hard to know when someone falls into something else, is there 60 connected, is there not? It's a bit of obvious mathematics. If it's fallen into a shallow soup, let's say, and it more or less has the same height as the liquid it's gone into, so if you've got 8 times the length and 8 times the width, you've got over 60. If it's fallen into something where there's a certain depth, so if you have 4 times the length, 4 times the breadth, 4 times the height, 4 by 4 by 4, is already more than 60. So it's not that hard to get more than 60. So then, Bosa B'cholav L'moshi, you have two simple cases. First case is, imagine milk falls into the soup of your cholin, into a meaty soup. Again, it's a simple case, bit less than 60. If the milk has fallen in, and you can see a white patch, obviously you've got to take that out. The whole concept of bittul is that it is that it's indiscernible and irretrievable, and therefore you've got to remove what you can see. But if it's been mixed in, then there's no problem with bottle b'shishim. What about a slightly different case? What about a piece of meat, which falls into your hot milk? You've got milk cooking on the gas. You drop the meat in. Obviously, in that case, you remove the piece of meat. The issue then is not meat which is mixed into milk, it's tasted milk which came out of the piece which is now mixed in your milk. Taste of meat which has come out of your piece of meat and gone into your milk. And now the question arises, how are you going to define how much taste, how are you going to measure how much taste has come out of the piece of meat? Here we have a halacha p'suka. In Siman Sadiches Sivtalev, Issa Shinispashil and Heta, Issa was cooked with Heta, and as I say, likewise meat with milk, but it's set out very clearly here in Hechos Taruvah, Sadiches Sivtalev. Issa Shinispashil and Heta, Afilum Makira, in Issa which was cooked with Heta, and you can recognize it, Vuhu Sholem, and it's complete, Vizorko, and therefore you took it out, you threw it out. Sarach Shishim Keneged Kol HaIssur, you need 60 against the whole Issa. In other words, if a kevayis of meat fell in, the halachic presumption, if you like, is that a kevayis of taste came out of it. A kevayis worth of volume of taste came out of this piece, and therefore you'll need 60 times the volume of the piece of meat. The Mechaba explains, to understand the theory behind it, Mipnei she'ein on a yoidim kama yotso mimenu. We don't know how much came out. The fichach amavasha b'seirach. Yeah, okay, that's the bit which is Nagab. We don't know how much came out. You might think, well, it's unlikely that a whole kazais of taste came out of one kazais of meat. We've taken out the meat's still there. L'chayr, the Hezba, this is something that the Shach brings in the previous ois, in the previous sif. The Shach brings from the run. Why is it? I've heard that sometimes some people are disturbed by this. They think, surely from a scientific point of view, it's not right. How can we say that a kadais of dlius comes out of there? Well, the Ran explains, b'dovah she'iyav shalama idolov, something which you can't measure, you can't be omed on it. Iyav lina lekula, if you would go lekula, yiyu kola isturim b'sofik. All cases of Issa would then be sofik. Everything would be unclear. V'chol echad yishai b'mashimira be'inov. Everyone would be mishai according to what he thinks. It probably means it becomes very hefka. People would judge, well, I don't think he did give a taste. People who are inclined to be meek will be very mezalzel. People who are inclined to be more machmer might be over machmer. Kol echad yishai b'mashinei rabbeinu. It's not a good answer. Ulufichach bo chachom l'hashvitz midesem. Therefore, chachomim created a general rule, a streamlined halacha, presumably a worst-case scenario. You assume the halachic presumption then becomes, and in halacha it's treated as a vadai, the halachic presumption becomes that a kazais of issa gives a kadais of tam, and a kadais of meat gives a kadais of tam. That's basically the answer to any of the scientific difficulties. The Ram is telling us, when it's too indeterminate, it can't be left up to the individual, and a halakhic presumption takes over. Now, I want to tell you, this will be very interesting for those who haven't learned Yerudev. Many of you possibly have learned Yerudev, and perhaps Chazora. There's a fascinating case in which a drop of milk can somehow usher, this is what I would say the headline, can somehow end up authoring more than 3,000 times its volume. How does that work?
3,000 times of what?
3,000 times its volume. More than 3,000 times its volume. One drop of milk. Why? One spoonful. How does that work? This works with a principle called Chaticha Nasus Nevela. Is it minute or not today, no? Chanan, yeah. Chanan, the abbreviation. Chesnan, non. The way it works is like this. Imagine you've got a little bit of an unusual case. You've got a stew, you've got a cholent meat, pieces of meat, but the liquid, the level of the liquid doesn't come all the way to the top. There are pieces which are sticking out of the liquid. And to keep it really clear, because there's a famous machlik between Rashi and Nari, to keep it completely non-controversial, let's say you've got one piece sticking out of the reuters, of the gravy, and on top of that you've got another piece. So this piece at the very top is not submerged at all, it's not in contact with the liquid at all. Imagine now a little bit of milk falls onto that piece of meat and sinks into it. You've got a problem with that piece of meat. Now, as we said before, there are lots of bittul b'shishim. So your first question would be, was the volume of the meat 60 times greater than the drop of milk that fell on? If the meat was not 60 times greater than the milk, that piece of milk is certainly osser. Now, that piece of meat is certainly osser. I'm going to say milk for meat, meat for milk the whole time, but I think you'll understand all of it. Sorry?
Maybe
I'll get it right. The question is whether you want to hear it 60 times. Now imagine the next step. Imagine, not sensibly, the sensible thing to have done would have been to remove that piece of meat, take it out of the way. But suppose you didn't do that. Suppose you plunged that piece of meat right into the mixture and everything carried on cooking. In that case, says the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch follows that, that piece of meat could usher the whole kedera if it's not out volumed, if it's not outnumbered by 60 times. That's why I said the piece of meat ends up ushering something maybe really up to 3,600 times its volume. Because if the piece of meat is 59 times greater than the drop of milk, and that piece of meat is osser, the way we look at it now is, this piece of meat is the new issa. This is called chaticha nasas nevela. That piece of meat is what the Torah ushered. You then plunge that piece of meat into the kedera, it cooks with it. In the kedera there's only 59 times more than that piece of meat. That piece of meat ushers the whole kedera. That is the din of chaticha nasas nevela. What about, let's change the case slightly, just one detail. What about if again a splash had come on a piece of meat which was perched at the top and there was just under 60 in the piece of meat, connected the splash and then you plunged that piece of meat right down. But instead of the splash being a splash of milk, let's suppose this time the splash is from a tray for chicken soup. Tray for chicken soup. So here the Mechaber says in Tzadi Beis Sif Dalet, the Mechaber writes as follows: Lo yomru chaticha atzmanasas nevela ela bebosa becholov. We only say the rule of chaticha nasas nevela with bosa becholov. Aval loy b'shar isurim, not in other isurim. Kugoyim, for example, a kazais of chaylev shenivla b'chaticha, which is given its taste or melted into a piece of meat. Ve'ein b'shishim levatloy, there isn't 60 in the piece of meat to be mevatlo that bit of chaylev. V'nesra, and that piece of meat therefore becomes osa. Then you cooked it with other pieces of meat. The Mechaber paskens that you only need 60 times more than the original chaylev which fell in. So again, let's say the bit of chaylev was just a third of a kazais. It's gone into a kazais of meat. The meat then being plunged into a kedera full. You don't need 60 kazaisim. In that kedera, you only need, whatever it is, 20 kedesim to be mevatled a bit of chaylev. You say chaticha nasas nevela with bosa b'cholov, and you don't say it, says the Mechaber, with shaar isurim. Sorry?
It's
Oh, the Ramah, one second. Why did the Mechaber hold that you say chanan in bosa b'cholov, but not in shaar isurim? Says the Taz, hatam mishum dekol chaban penafshei. Think about it, the concept, the reason behind it is very, very clear. The reason is because kol chad ban pinashi shori. Let's think about what's happened here. In the one case, you've got a piece of meat on which milk has fallen. So the meat is mutter, says the Taz. The Shach said the same thing. The meat was mutter, the milk was mutter. Why they also? Because the Torah said that a combination of meat and milk is also. This is the din of basar b'chalav. Therefore, say the Shach and Taz, this piece of meat is the iser. You've got half a kazais of milk, half a kazais of meat, and they combine. That makes a kazais of basar b'chalav. That is a gufa iser. Mashayim came, if you have a piece of meat, and tam chelev goes into it, the tam chelev spreads throughout, there's no way you can eat this piece of meat. However, the reason why you can't eat this piece of meat is not because the meat became an issa. It's because the tam, you can't get the tam of chelev out of it, therefore if you eat it, you'll invariably be eating the tam of chelev, and tam ke'ika, tam is like the ikka, the thing, you'll be in effect eating the chelev, that's why you can't eat it. There's a distinct difference between Issa, which is Nivla and Heta, and Bosa, which combines with Cholov. Says the Ramad, you correctly pointed out, some say, Rabbeinu Ephraim is a Mekel, some say, he brings from Tois, Smak, Mordechai, Chorinim, that we do say Chatich Nas Nevela in Shai Nesorim. And yet, you need to understand clearly the conceptual chiluk between the two, because, again, as the Shach and Taz say immediately, the Chulam, even the Oisrim, hold it only Midrabonon here. Why is it only Midrabonon? Because as I say, conceptually, it's Bechlal, not Shaykh. And it's important to know that since it is only a Shaylah Midrabonon, and since Rabbeinu Ephraim is Mekel, since there are Poskim who are Mekel, although the Ramos of the Minig is to be Machmeh, there are various cases where you have other svaris you could combine. If you've learned, and I remind you, the Ramah says in Hesed Meruba, Lach Belach, you can make Chanan Misharisorim, Chanan Bebalua, Erev Shabbos, maybe we'll come to. So cases in which it's borderline whether to say Chanan in the first place, you would be Mekel, not to say Chanan Misharisorim. And likewise in a Shasat Chak, of course, Nefira Ois Enei Hamoira, a Rav might be able to be Mekel in certain cases, much more easily in the case of Chanan Bishari Surim than in the case of Chanan in Bosa B'Cholov. So there you have so far two Madrigas. There's the Madriga of Chanan and Bosa B'Cholov, the Raisa and the Chulama, and there's the Madriga of Chatichanas Nevel of Chanan in Ave Surim, which is Zecha and Nidrabonon, it's Machloikas, Machaber Ramah, the Ramah is Machmed, the Machaber Mekel. There's a third Madriga, which actually you definitely don't say Chanan at all, but it needs to be spoken out. And this is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch in Tzadi Dal in Sifov, the Mechaba and the Ramah. The Mechaba said, "Betzolim ha'yirok, if you have vegetables, shebloy mibosar." Let's suppose, once again, a kazais of vegetables absorbs taste from a third of a kazais of meat. And then a bishlam mekder chalev, then you cooked it in a milky pot, or let's make it simpler, let's say you cooked it with milk. If you've kept track of what's happened, you know how much meat was cooked together with the vegetables in the first place. You know it was only a third of a kazais. You'll only need 60 against the meat. Why? Says the Ramah, the idea of chatich anas nevela, in other words, he's saying, you don't say the whole vegetable becomes osa. Why? Poshut. Because it was meat which went into vegetables. Meat isn't osa. So this is just simply vegetables with tam of meat in it. It's a kazais of vegetables. It's got a third of a kazais of meat in it. Mix it up with milk. Fine, you'll say there's a third of a kazais of meat somewhere within this mixture. Let's see, there's 60 times more milk than the meat content, not than the vegetables. So you've got basar b'cholov, chanan d'oraisa, shari surim, chanan d'rabbanan, according to Ramah. And meat. Sorry? Chelev is Sharisorim. Chelev into meat. Right? And the third case of meat or milk, which is Heta, which goes into something else, there's no Mosek of Chanan at all. The next Chiddush. Take it a stage further. Again in Simon Sadi base. So far we've learned that Tam, taste, Blias, can combine with a chaticha Nigel Chaticha. The Tam can come in, combine with the Chaticha to make Chaticha Nasas Nevela, to make the whole be considered Issa. A bigger Chiddush, which you find in Sadi Beis and in Sadi Ches, is that, Shach mentioned in Sadi Gimel as well, probably other places which I've forgotten, that is that Tam can combine with Tam to make a Chaticha Nasas Nevela. You can have, therefore, I'll read you this in Shulchan Aruch, in Sadi Ches Sif Hei, Kaf Chadosha, Oshayin Basim, you have a new spoon, Shinir Bo, Volo Kazayis Cholov. You stirred a brand new spoon, you stirred a cup of milk, which suppose had the Kazayis of milk in it, with a brand new spoon. It's a kazais of milk. So we say this spoon now absorbs the kazais of bleus of milk. Ein tzorech ele shishim levatel kazais shabolo. So then if that spoon will go into meat, and you're worried about the taste of milk which comes out into your meat, you'll only need 60 kazaisim of meat there. But suppose avokaf yishono, what about if the spoon was an old spoon? The spoon had been well used. It might have to be on that day because the dinner of Bas Yoma, that's another Indian. It had been well used beforehand, let's suppose, for milk, for meat. So it's better than a meaty spoon. Its volume is 3 kazaisim, and it's full of meat bleus. It's assumed to be full of meat bleus. Then you stir 1 kazais of milk. That kazais of milk will go into the spoon and join up with the possible 3 kazaisim of meat that are already in the spoon, and create 3 kazaisim of basar b'chalav. If you then stir your meat, or your milk for that matter, with that spoon, you will need 180 kazaisim to be mevatel, the 3 kazaisim of issa which is in the spoon, because within the bleus, you made the chaticha nasas nevela. Let me now read you what the Taz says. Sorry, the Shach in Sifkon Yud Ches. This is Negeh to the point you were making earlier. This is the shit of the whole, the Svele Da'af, B'Shar Yisurim Chanan B'Kli Yoshon. Sorry. The case in Shulchan Aruch or the case of Basar B'Cholov. Now, I told you first Chanan in a Chaticha. Then I told you an additional Chiddush that Tam with Tam can also make a Chanan. We said that primarily Chanan is a din of basar b'cholov midaraisa, but midrabban also applies to shaar isurim. What about this greater chiddush of Chanan to say that bleus with bleus make Chanan? Does that also apply basar b'cholov? Sorry, does that also apply in shaar isurim or does it not? So here the shach is medayik from the loshna of the Ramah. I won't go into the exact diuk, and he says we do say b'shaar isurim Chanan in a keli as well. However, dafka b'makom she'ein hesed. So you see what I mentioned earlier, that the din with Chanan b'shaar isurim bends that bit more easily. Once you have a mokum hefzad, then you wouldn't be machme to say Chanan in bleus with bleus. And this has a very interesting application. This will be, I think, our last point. What happens if you're cooking your cholent, you're cooking your meat, and milk splashes onto the outside of the keli? Now here is a good example of Das Barabatim, that our own Das could be the opposite of what the Torah says, because I think I would have thought that if milk goes onto the outside of the pot, I wouldn't have thought it was a problem, because it doesn't get in. But the truth is, halachically, once again, the assumption is that it could, and therefore the chashash is that it does. And of course, once you think about it, if you hold the cooking food has the power to draw bleus out from the walls of the keli, why should it not be able to draw taste through the keli from the other side as well? So the halacha is the chayshi zeritam. And therefore the Mechaber tells us in the Siman Tzadi Beis, Siv Hei, Tibas cholov shenofla la kadeira she'etzel ha'oish mibachutz. A drop of milk or a splash of milk fell onto a kadeira which is cooking on the fire on the outside. And here there's a fascinating difference between what's called Kenegad HaTavshel and Shalei Kenegad HaTavshel. Kenegad, or Kenegad HaRoitim, Kenegad HaTavshel means, let's suppose this kadeira is half full. So there's a difference between Kenegada Tavshil, which is that the drop comes beneath the level of the liquid, and when it goes above that level, that's Shaloi Kenegada Reitav. The Mechaber says, Im Nafla Kenegada Tavshil, if it fell beneath the level of the liquid, Ein Tzarech L'Shishim Kenegada Tipo. The criteria with which to calculate whether the food in the pot becomes also or not is simply, is there 60 times the splash in the food in the pot? Why? The assumption, or the worst case scenario assumption, is that the tam of, let's say it's milk, a splash of milk onto a meaty pot, that the taste from the milk has been mefapea, has spread straight through and straight in. And therefore, if it's less than a 60th, it's immediately bottled. However, says the Mechaber, Im Nafla B'Mokim HaReikon, if it fell on the empty part, then there's a chashash, says the smak, I think, you never know what's happened, because these things are so indeterminate. So here's your pot, the liquid level's only up to here, the splash has gone on the top. Maybe, says the Mechaber, remember we said that it can combine with any tam which already exists in the pot. So maybe it's spread, you don't know how far it's spread. Maybe it's spread only only through the wall, through the chelik of the keli, which is above the level of the liquid. And it's created the chanan in the walls of the keli. So your issa has expanded greatly within the keli. And then there's a possibility that there isn't shishim in the walls against that tipper. That part of the kadeira now becomes osa. And therefore you've got a very dangerous situation. You've got a case here where your cholent is cooking, and the top of the kadeira is trace, the bottom of the kadeira, your food's still alright, but only just. And so the Mechaber, if you would then pour the food out, you'd say, oyvei, there's milk, let me pour it out quickly. So as you poured it out past that part of the wall, you then acid it. So the Mechaber, don't do that. That's a kanosa. Leave it until it gets cold. Don't touch it until it gets cold, then pour it out. And the Shach said, don't even try to make a hole at the bottom, take everything out. Don't even try to pour it out the other side, because somehow it may tilt.
Did you
do nothing. Sorry?
You can take out the middle.
And well, also probably the same chashash that it will go out. Anyway, but let me think, come to it. This is not mamash halach. This is probably not halach lemaisa.
You have to touch
an edge. No, but if you put it in the spoon.
You'll put it in the spoon and it's going to sway slightly. That's the risk.
But the middle part would be okay, no?
In theory, yes. Maybe in practice. But it's probably not halach lemaisa anyway. So let me just get to time of the show. Let me get to what's halach lemaisa. So in short, shishim kenegda tipa helps you immediately if it's kenegda roitiv. If it's shalai kenegda roitiv, you've got a problem. So again, imagine, let's make it practical, you've got your cholim cooked on Erev Shabbos, you've had this splash on the side, your whole Shabbos food is in danger, what do you do? Well, the good news is that generally speaking, the halacha is noita lekula, there's a lot of kafta teira here, for a few reasons. Firstly, the Orach HaShulchan claims, in Sif Mem Gimel here in Tzadi Beis, that the minig b'chol tfutzus Yisrael is to be make out day shishim, because there's a lot of machlokes, there's a lot of shittas in Rishonim how to interpret this halacha, and he says a lot of Rishonim hold, I think he said Rashi and Tosfos hold, that if the tipper goes even shalai kenegda roitav, you also assume it's spread right through and therefore it's possible shishim. So he wipes away the whole thing. Bada shulchan right, it's a chiddush, it's kenegda shulchan aruch. Apart from that, in Sif Zayin state, Yesh mi shemate b'shas atchak, going to Erev Shabbos afilu shaloi kenegda roitav. There's an opinion which says that if it's Erev Shabbos, if you're Shabbos through the risk, you can be makel if there is 60 times a splash. And finally, let me tell you what the Gated Rav said over. Very interesting, Divrei Malkiel. Divrei Malkiel says that the minhag ha-moirim, the minhag amongst Moirei HaRoh, is that when they ask such a shaila, they don't ask any questions. They say the food's okay, and the keli wait 24 hours. The keli we're not going to discuss today. But the food is okay. Why do they take on the food is okay? So it explains like this. Generally speaking, when people ask about a splash, you don't have to ask how big it was. A splash means a small amount, and they'll be shishim kenegad. Ah, you're worried it's shaloi kenegad, the writer. He said, the Vilna Gaon, the Prichodosh say, If it's mechusif, if the pot is covered, so as you know, when a pot is covered, you find this elsewhere in Hilchus Shabbos, you're not allowed, something which is uncooked on Shabbos, don't cover it as it's cooking, because you speed up the cooking by doing that. It's daraisa, it's mesa. So when you put a pot on, what you do is contain all the steam, and therefore you've got the food there, but it's steaming. There's a whole batch of steam. So it's full of steam, and therefore it's as if the whole kedera is full. And therefore the halacha is that if it comes even shaloi kenek the roitiv, when there's the kisui on, it will be mafakar right through. Therefore the divrei malkiyah said the moirin didn't ask, and they just said yes, it's okay, because they assumed it's covered, and they assumed it's shishim. And in conclusion, although it's a fascinating sugya, and it's all Torah, one has to learn the whole thing, lemaisa is, in most cases, in such a case, one would end up being able to eat one's cholent, yeshla, nothing we've both. So we've learned, I think, 7 or 8, halachas lemaisa, we've learned bittul b'shishim. Sorry? 3 days? 3 halachas a day, yeah, this will be more halachas. I think if you work out, you'll find it out later.